please.
I'm sorry?
Where are we up to?
Oh, we're at the very bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 11B. We're about to start. This is Jeff Sachs from Web Yeshiva. And we're continuing after our Passover break. We're continuing with Masechet Ta'anit. We are at the very bottom of, in the first perek, the very bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. As a matter of fact, here we're already gone. Omer of Yitzchak. And turn the page. We're already at the top of Yud Bet Omer Aleph. Omer of Yitzchak. Had amarta mitanin l'sha'ot v'hu shalot am klum ad ha'erev. The Gemara had been discussing just a quick review for those of you who may not have been reviewing over Pesach. You might have been learning Masechet Pesachim instead, or eating matzah, or something else. We had been discussing this topic of tanit l'sha'ot. We think of a fast day. We think there's two types of fast days. There's the Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur fast day, which is sunset to nightfall, 24 and a bit hours later. And then there are what we call the minor fasts, like Shivosa B'Tammuz and Asara B'Tevet and the Tanit Esther, which are sunrise to nightfall fasts, or I should say dawn to dusk fasts. Of course, our Gemara is talking about all types of other fasts that were instituted on an ad hoc basis if there were times of trouble, if there were times of drought, if there were other types of plague or pestilence that were plaguing the people. And these ad hoc fasts that were instituted were done in order to generate some kind of national tshuva, repentance, that would have stemmed the plague or solved the drought or whatever the problem was. But of course, there's a third category of fasts, which are voluntary fasts. People can accept upon themselves all types of fasts on all types of days. As a matter of fact, we know there are certain days where it's forbidden to fast. You know, like on Hanukkah, on Purim, on other festive, happy days, it's forbidden to fast. So what do you mean it's forbidden to fast on those days? Like, it's not a fast day. Why would you want to fast? Because some people were in the habit of accepting upon. That is not so common these days. We don't recognize that all too often. We're not generally in the habit of adding fast days. Even though there's some people that are accustomed to fast what's called Bahab, on a series of Monday, Thursday, Mondays that were set up. Or there are certain people that were accustomed to fast on those days during the opening parashiot of Sefer Shmot, the Rashi Tevot of the parashiot of Shmot, Shmot, Ve'era, Bo, B'Shalach, Yitro, Mishpatim, spells Shovavim. Shovavim is kind of like rascals. So there was a custom among certain yeshiva folk to fast on the Monday, Thursday, Mondays of those weeks, starting from Parshat Shmot, to kind of atone for all types of not rascally. What would be a better word for Shovavim, David?
I like rascals.
Yeah, rascals, but rascals not rascals like, you know, somebody who twirls his mustache, but rascals like the little rascals. Shovav like Dennis in what?
My mother would call me a bandit.
A bandit, yeah, right, correct. You know, like a Shovav, like in the sense in Hebrew, Dennis the Menace is Dani Shovavani. That kind of menace, that kind of rascally behavior, to atone for the variety of sins that might get classified under those behaviors of the Shovavim. These are not so common and so familiar to us. Most of us have probably never fasted for Shovavim, or for Bahab even, or for anything aside from the fixed fasts on the calendar, the major and minor fasts. And of course, we live in a world where we do not fast, where there is no Bet Din to institute fasts for drought or other things. From time to time, the Rabbanut HaRashit, or the Bet Din of the Eid HaCharedit, will tell its constituent communities that we're going to have often it's just a half a day fast until Mincha. At the beginning of Corona, there was such a thing where they advised, they set a certain date where there should be a voluntary fast for people that were healthy and well and able to do it in order to stem the magefa of the corona. But these things are never usually widely, universally observed, even amongst people, of course, who otherwise are careful about fasting. So the Gemara talks about this concept of ta'anit l'sha'ot. What I'm going to call, it's an imprecise term, but for shorthand, I'm going to call it a part-day fast. This is something that until you learn this Gemara, you may never have heard of. The idea that you can fast for, there's such a thing as a fast for part of a day. What exactly this is has to be defined. It's a machloket here, exactly what it is we're talking about factually. But the Gemara wants to know this thing, this ta'anit l'sha'ot, fasting for a set number of hours, if there even is such a thing. So Omar, the Gemara had said, Omar of Chizda, hada amarta mitanin l'sha'ot. When the halacha says that you can fast for a certain number of hours, v'hu shelo ta'am klum ad ha'erev. That means if you fasted and you hadn't eaten anything until the evening. So Rav Chisda says that a ta'anit l'sha'ot means you fast, and it seems that he's saying that you don't eat anything until the evening. So I don't understand. What is that? That's what we call a regular fast day. That's what we call Shavuos Batamuz. That's what we call Tanit Esther. You don't eat until the evening. So Abaye, Omale Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Chisda, ha ta'anit ma'alita hi. That's what he's talking about. That's a regular fast, a superior ma'alita. It's a superior fast. It's a full fledged fast. It's the real thing. So the Gemara says, lo, sricha de imlach imluche. No. There's a difference, there's a nafkamina between the two cases, and the halacha has to say there's such a thing as the ta'anit l'sha'ot in the event that he changes his mind, that he makes a decision that he's going to fast. You know, this was the last topic we were talking about before we broke for pay. We had one shiur, we didn't have a shiur for Chol HaMoed. The week before that we learned Pesach in Yonim, so it's already 3 weeks ago that we talked about this. Not all abstaining from eating is ipso facto fasting. You know, we're all familiar. Everybody's had to go some point to get a blood test. I don't. God forbid, not everybody has to go for surgery. Thank God, but everybody knows. Yeah, sometimes you have to take a blood test. Sometimes you have to go to the Kupat Cholim and take a blood test, and they tell you you have to be batsom from the night before. You have to be fasting when you take the blood test so they get a good clean sample. So it could be that there's a number of hours where you're not eating. That does not ipso facto mean it's halachically ta'anit. Not all not eating. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. My father has this habit, God bless him, of cataloging everything that goes into his mouth. You know, he'll be in the kitchen puttering around, and my mother will say, what are you doing? I'm about to make dinner. And he'll say, I haven't eaten all day. And then she'll say, that's not true. And he'll say, well, I only ate this, and I only ate that, and I only ate the other thing, and it was only a half a sandwich, and it was only a small Danish, and it was, but I haven't eaten all day. But there are some people, my father not generally among them, there are some people that can go like a half a day, a whole day without eating, despite what they tell you that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. A lot of people skip breakfast. And if you're not a caffeine addict, you don't automatically have coffee in the morning. It can happen very easily that, you know, you go a certain number of hours in the day before you realize that you haven't eaten all day. Does that ipso facto mean that you're fasting? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. De'im lachim luche means you do that. You get up in the morning, you don't have a thing. And then it's like noon. And you say, oh, I consider, im lachim luche, I consider maybe since I'm already halfway there, maybe I won't eat anything today, and this day will be considered to me as a fast. So Rav Chisda says that's what we call a ta'anit sha'ot. The first half of the day, when you didn't eat anything, that was just because you were too busy or because you weren't hungry. And the second half of the day, right, or maybe it's only the final 2 or 3 hours of the day before, maybe it's in the winter when the sun sets very early. So that's what's called the ta'anit sha'ot. Even though lama'aseh, you haven't eaten anything on either part of the day. Hold on a second. Let me find the arrow here. So Rav Chisda says, "Kol ta'anit shelo shaka alav chama lo shmei ta'anit." Because Rav Chisda's definition of a ta'anit sha'ot, fasting for a certain number of hours, does not mean it's a 2 hour fast and then you go have lunch. It means basically you're fasting the whole day, you're not eating the whole day, and then you transform your act of not eating into a fast by accepting the fast upon yourself until nightfall. Because he says, "Kol ta'anit shelo shaka alav chama." Unless you fast until shkia, until the end of the day, it ain't a ta'anit. So if you fast for a certain number of hours in the morning, and then you, what we call break your fast, or you start to eat at some point, that, Rav Chisda says, is not a fast. But if you go the whole day without eating, even though you've only technically accepted the fast upon yourself at some point midday, then it is a fast. So the Gemara wants to play with this idea. The Gemara wants to entertain this idea and test out if, in fact, it's the real thing. If there really is such a thing. Or maybe there can be a ta'anit sha'ot where you only fast for a portion of the day. And the rest of the day, you're allowed to eat either at the beginning of the day and then fast, or fast and then stop fasting and eat. Whether that has some kind of halachic status. So the Gemara says meitve.
Do they at any time talk about kavana? Fast? You've not eaten half the day, but you didn't have the intent to fast, but then you decide to.
Yeah, well,
say that Klani has to have some sort of kavana?
The next sugya in the Gemara, which we probably won't get to tonight, but will next week, is this question of Kabbalat Ta'anit. How do you accept upon yourself the fast? So that's connected to your question, so I'd ask you to just hold off on it. But even here, just Rav Chisda's position that, okay, you weren't eating, which doesn't mean you were fasting. You just happened not to put anything in your mouth. And then you make a conscious decision, which is your question, Sharon, of Kavanah. You make a conscious decision to say, okay, but now I'm not eating, not because I wasn't hungry, but because I'm abstaining, because I'm fasting, because I want to transform this into an opportunity for tshuva. Also, of course, there's also the nafka mina, there's the practical halachic consequence of whether or not when you then, now daven mincha, whether or not you should recite anenu. Anenu is the prayer that's inserted, the paragraph that's inserted in the Shemoneh Esrei of a fast day. Now it's inserted on the fast days, you know, the calendar fast days, but also if somebody, you know, like many people, the only time that many people fast outside of the calendar fast days is on their wedding. There's this fairly widespread custom to fast on your wedding day, unless, you know, your wedding happens to be on Rosh Chodesh or Hanukkah or something like that. Yes, Yehudi.
I think a lot of people also fast on the day of their parents' yahrzeit.
Or yahrzeits, correct. And yahrzeits, many people, particularly of the Litvish variety, not so much the Chassidim. The Chassidim make a lechayim on a yahrzeit, but many people of the in the Misnagdic or the Lithuanian mode also have a custom of fasting on a yahrzeit. That's absolutely correct.
Going back to wedding days.
So one second, Shalom. One second. So on either fasting on a wedding or fasting on a yahrzeit, you're the only one that's fasting. You should recite Anenu in mincha of your Shmon Esrei. Yes, I'm sorry, Shalom, you were saying.
Esther and I got married on Yud Aleph Av, and Rav told us that, you know, you just fasted 2 days ago for Tisha B'Av, so on the wedding day, you fast till Chatzot,
right,
midday,
and then daven mincha.
And then make up the fast, like in the winter when the days are short, so fast one day in the winter just to make up for that.
Yeah, the minhag of fasting on a yahrzeit or on a wedding day, fasting for yahrzeit, look, people do it for year after year after year. It becomes almost, it takes on a neder. A wedding, most people don't get married that often. So it's hard to say it has the force of a neder. But Yehudi, 1 second, I'll come back to you. But it's a kind of minhag which is easy to get out of, because, you know, we don't want people passing out under the chuppah or other such things. You know, particularly people if you have like an evening wedding in the summer or something like that. You know, so it's a kind of thing which is easy to exempt a chatan or kala from at need. I'm sorry, Yehudi, you were going to say.
My wife and I got married on a Wednesday. Yom Kippur was on a Monday, and I got exactly the same response from the rabbi, except he didn't make us make it up.
Okay.
He just said first half a day after that.
Why would you have to make up a wedding fast if, anyway, it's not going to be a complete fast if you, I mean, if you didn't get married at night, then you're not, you wouldn't finish the fast in any case.
I don't know.
Well, most people get married right?
If you have a, you know, in America, it's very popular. Here in Israel, not so much because we don't have so many opportunities. Although we just went to a daytime wedding. Because anyway, now you have the corona, weddings are small anyway, and nobody's going to work or anything. So we were at a wedding at like 2 p.m. A couple weeks ago. But in America, it's very common. People get married on Sunday. You have a morning wedding or an afternoon wedding. So people that do that only fast until the wedding, right? It's not a full day fast. The purpose of the fast, according to most opinions, the purpose of the minhag of the fasting at a wedding is that we don't want the chatan and kala to get drunk or to do other things that would interrupt the clearness of their mind that they need in order to stand under the chuppah. So that's why we suggest that they be fasting. But the custom of the fasting for the wedding might actually be for different purposes than the fasting for yahrzeit or the fasting for other things. It is connected to this other idea that your wedding is like Yom Kippur for you and blah blah blah. But you know, it might serve other functions as well. Anyway, let's go on in the Gemara. And uvda, there are all types of days on which we don't allow even a chatan and kala to fast if you're getting married on those days that it's forbidden to fast. And by the way, if your yahrzeit comes out on Hanukkah or Purim or Rosh Chodesh or what have you, you also don't fast. Even if in your family there's a custom to fast in yahrzeit. I mean, even if, you know, it could be that you're a person where you end up fasting for your mother, Alah Shalom, but not for your father, because your father's yahrzeit might be on Hanukkah, let's say, or on Chol HaMoed or something like that. So there's different factors. So the Gemara now is wants to say, is Rav Chisda right that you can't have a fast for only a couple hours a day? Tanit sha'ot pshuto kemashmao. Simply understood. So the Gemara says, Meitveh. Meitveh is an attack. Right? It's an attack on the idea that there is such a thing. And it brings a whole variety of suggestions to show there can be a hour fast, a 2 hour fast, 3 hour fast. Anshei mishmar mitanin velo mashlimin. In the Beit HaMikdash, the watch, work schedule in Beit HaMikdash was divided up into mishmarot of different groups of Kohanim and Levi'im that were on duty for a period of generally a week at a time. That was called the mishmar. And when you were there, when it was your turn, where all the Kohanim and the Levi'im from your town were called, like miluim, to go off to Beit HaMikdash to do the Avodat Beit HaMikdash, you were on the Mishmar. So if there was a fast day, I don't mean Tisha B'Av. I mean a fast day that was decreed because, let's say, there's a famine. So if you're on duty in Beit HaMikdash for on a day when the rest of Klal Yisrael are fasting, so you fast, but you don't finish the fast. You don't mashlim. You fast for a couple hours, and then you eat. So why is that? So it's possible that the work in the Beit HaMikdash was really required a lot of energy. There was a lot of schlepping around, and there was a lot of doing things, and it required you to be on your feet. So we don't want Kohanim and Levim passing out from the fast. Because they're fasting. So we allow them to break their fast for, again, we're not talking about Yom Kippur. We're talking about the fasts that were observed to try to stem the plague or to stop the drought. We allow them to. It's also possible that, of course, in Beit HaMikdash on a regular day, there were karbanot. And the karbanot had to be eaten. And if they're not eaten, then they're notar. You can't have leftovers. You can't leave the meat of the karbanot unconsumed.
It's like fascia.
Yes, correct.
Moshe tells Aaron he can't fast. You can't refrain from.
So it could be that we can't have all the Kohanim and Levim fasting on those days because it would cause the halachic problem of the notar, of leaving the karbanot unconsumed. So if that's the case, what do they fast in the first place for? So the Gemara says, "Hatam latsuure nafshe ba'almahu." It's in order that they should afflict themselves; they should afflict their souls a bit, in general. Meaning, they're not really fasting. Technically speaking, the Kohanim and the Levi'im who are on duty in Beit HaMikdash on those days are exempt from fasting for the reasons we mentioned. So why do they fast a little bit? Because it's not proper that the whole Jewish people are fasting in order to create this national tshuva, and they're not participating at all. So in order that they should, pardon the expression, taste a little bit of the fast, they should experience a little bit of the fast, so they fast a little bit. So the Gemara first wants to suggest that this part-day fast of the Kohen and Levim is a ta'anit sha'ot, right, against the opinion of Rav Chisda. Kamash malan, no, it's not the case, because it's not really a fast. Meaning, again, not all abstaining from food is ipso facto a halachic fast. This is not a halachic fast. They are exempt from fasting. And the fact that they spend a few hours a day not eating is just a way to show their affinity with their brethren outside of Mikdash who are fasting. Right, but in fact, they are technically exempt from fasting. We discussed, this was the topic we discussed 3-4 weeks ago about Porish Minat Sibur and somebody who doesn't fast either by accident or maybe because they have some kind of medical dispensation, right? Whether or not it's proper, how one should go about not fasting on a fast day, right? Because even though you might have reason to eat, or even though you may have already accidentally broken your fast and don't have and are not required to continue fasting, nevertheless, it's not proper to fress and to live it up and to, I always say, in Yerushalayim, except for, tomorrow night's Yom HaShoah. So tomorrow night, all the restaurants are going to be closed, or at least they're supposed to be closed. Because it's not proper. It's not proper. Yom HaShoah, people should go out and live it. I mean, in the days when you're allowed to go to restaurants and live it up, not like today. But on regular fast days, on Shivosu B'Tammuz, I don't think on Tisha B'Av restaurants are open. I don't think so. I don't remember. Does anybody know? I don't know. But on regular fast days, on Shavuos B'Tammuz and Aser B'Teves, the restaurants are all open. And, you walk down the street, you pass by, you see people sitting in the cafes. And okay, so not everybody's Shomer Torah or Mitzvot. I understand that, right? I understand that. But you see also people with kippot, and you see women with kisui rosh. Now, maybe they have a reason not to fast. Maybe they have a medical exemption. Maybe the women are nursing and pregnant and all of those things. But to me, it always seems improper. It always seems improper to be sitting in a restaurant on Shavuos Batamis having a cup of coffee, right? In other words, if you have reason not to be fasting, we wish you the best of health. But a little tzniut, right? Behind closed doors, show, at least don't publicly show that you're not involved in the suffering of the community, in this national project of tshuva. So that's what's going on.
I want to say it was. I don't know if it still is. I haven't been in Yerushalayim in a long time. It was the case for many years, at least while I lived in Yerushalayim, that the restaurants were closed at least the night of Tisha B'Av.
The night of Tisha B'Av. Yeah.
They closed the night of Tisha B'Av. That's it.
Yeah. Like on Yom HaShoah, they're closed at night, but during the day they're open. But okay. I mean, Yom HaShoah is not a fast day. It's not usher al pi halacha to have a cup of coffee in a restaurant on Yom HaShoah. But to me, it just seems improper. It just seems, it just seems like it's not in good taste. But that's my opinion. Not as a halachic matter, but as a social matter. So the Gemara now says, Tashma, here's another possibility. Tashma, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok said, Ani mibnei banav shel Sna'a ben Binyamin. Ufam achat chal Tisha B'Av liot b'Shabbat. V'dechinuhu la'achar ha-Shabbat. Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbat, and when Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbat, it's a nidche. We push off the observance of Tisha B'Av, including the fast, till Sunday. Somebody once wrote something clever about not fasting on Tisha B'Av. I'm going to eat on Tisha B'Av, but he meant when it came out on Saturday. He's raising his hand. He's waving. Right? What did you say in that column?
No, I wrote that I'm not going to fast on Tisha B'Av. I explained reasons why you might not, but in any case, it was on Shabbat that year.
Right. Yes. It was a David Kerwin type of column. Yeah, I remember when I was in camp. I was in high school, and I was in camp, and there was a girl who had like just come back from seminar in Israel. You know, she was very much like on her post-Israel mindset, and I remember, and it was the same thing. Tisha B'Av came out on a Shabbat, and I remember her saying to me on Shabbat, "Oh, it's hard for me to eat on Tisha B'Av." And I'm not sure I had any idea what she was talking about, but I thought she was off her rocker. So he says, oh, David just posted the link. So he says that one year, he says, I'm from this certain family. And one year, Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbat, and we pushed it off till Sunday. V'hit aneinu bo, and we fasted, v'lo hishlamnuhu. We fasted on that Sunday, the 10th of Av, where everybody else was observing Tisha B'Av, but we didn't fast the whole day. Why? Mipnei sheyom tov shelanuhu. It was our family's yom tov. So there was a thing in Beit HaMikdash called Korban HaEtzeh. There were certain people that had like a fix on certain donations to Beit HaMikdash. You know, like in shuls today, there are things like this. You know, there's always one person who donates, you know, like let's say you have a yard site, you know, on a certain date. So everybody knows that Shabbat, that you make a big Kiddush. That Shabbat, you make a Kiddush on Parshat Shmini because it's your father's yard site. And everybody knows the Shabbat of Parshat Shmini, there's going to be good chulent and good kugel and good whiskey after the first Shabbat after Pesach, because so-and-so has yahrzeit on Parshat Shmini, around Parshat Shmini always. Okay. So in Beit HaMikdash, there were people, since Beit HaMikdash was very dependent on wood, and wood is somewhat sparse in the greater Jerusalem area, it meant that wood was expensive. And people would donate wood, firewood, which was a necessary raw material to keep Beit HaMikdash running, a place where you needed to have korbanot going all the time. You needed to have wood on the Mizbeach, and you needed to have wood to heat the place and to have hot water and all types of other things. You know, wood was a big expense. We were talking about this recently. We were talking about how, our contemporary standards of hygiene were unimaginable in the pre-modern world. They were even somewhat unimaginable over 100 years ago. You know how expensive it was? We are all used to the idea of bathing or showering in hot water daily. Someone who does not bathe or shower every day in hot water, maximum every other day, becomes quickly a social pariah for very obvious reasons. In the pre-modern world, you could go a year without a hot bath. Do you know how expensive it was to make a hot bath? Forget the labor that was involved in schlepping water from the well to fill the tub. That you could do yourself if you were strong and healthy. But the cost of burning the wood in order to heat a tub of water made bathing in hot water a luxury for most people. A special luxury, not something that could be done every day, except by the very, very wealthy. So Beit HaMikdash needed wood. And people would make a donation that they would, on this date, they would give, that maybe it was for Yahrzeit, maybe it was for some other reason, but they had a lock on a certain day that they donated the wood to Beit HaMikdash. So in this family of Sno'o ben Binyamin, ben Binyamin might mean that he's from Shevet Binyamin, but in this family of Sno'o, their date was the 10th of Av. So 10th of Av is a great day. Usually 10th of Av is a very happy day. I remember in camp, the 10th of Av, they would count down till Chatzot, because on the 10th of Av, on a normal year, the day after Tisha B'Av, the morning still has some of the restrictions of Tisha B'Av, including listening to music and shaving and other things. So I remember at lunch in camp, they would count down to Chatzot, and then the band would come in and they'd start playing music and they'd be dancing and all that other kind of stuff. So their day was the 10th, except what? Sometimes Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbat and is pushed off to the 10th of Av. So the day, their day, their special day when they would donate the wood to Beit HaMikdash, which they would observe as a Yom Tov, not Yom Tov meaning with an Isur Malacha. They observed it as a personal, as a family festival. When you would bring a korban to Beit HaMikdash, you observed it as a kind of personal festival. So here they have a conflict. It's a nidche, right? Everyone's fasting, even though the real date was the day before. But for them, it's yantif. So what did they do, this family? They fasted a half a day, and then they stopped fasting, and then they had their su'udah, their family celebration for their special day. So what do we see from this? Is another proof that there's such a thing as a half a day fast, because this family did it. No, maybe this family was completely exempt from fasting on Tisha B'Av, which is a nidche. So if so, why did they fast for a few hours? For the same reason as the same case. To show that they do not completely divorce themselves from the suffering of the community. By the way, this is the halacha. If you are making a bris milah on Tisha B'Av, which is a nidche, right? If you are having a bris milah, if your son is making, you're making a bris for your son was born on the 3rd of Av. If your son is born on the 3rd of Av, in a year when Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbat, So the Brit comes out on the 10th of Av, which is being observed as the fast day. After the Brit, you, the father, the mother can eat in all cases. The father, the Sandik, and the Moel can all eat in celebration of the mitzvah of the Brit Milah. When our first son was due, I think this was the case. The due date was that kind of year where the 9th of Av was on Shabbat, and the due date was more or less around the 3rd of Av. And I remember thinking that if he would be born just like a day or two late, we would get out of fasting on Tisha B'Av that year. But he was born early. He was born a bit early, so it didn't work out. But you see that's in fact the halacha. So again, it's a case where, technically speaking, they're completely exempt from fasting on that day. The fact that they fast a little bit does not mean that there's such a thing as a half a day fast. Tashma de Omer B'Yochanan. Ehei b'ta'anit ad she'avo leveiti. Rabbi Yochanan, some kind of story, he says, I'm going to fast until I get home. Right? He says, I'm going to fast from now until some later point in the day. Right? So doesn't that sound like there's such a thing as a half a day fast, a part day fast, a couple hour fast? No. Hatam l'shamute nafshe mibein nesiyahu David. It was an excuse. The whole thing was a fake. Rabbi Yochanan was often called to the house of the Nasi. And the Nasi would want to invite him to eat with him. So you know this happens sometimes. Sometimes, like, you know, you're busy and somebody asks you to, like, stay, have a cup of coffee, join us for a meal, something like that. And you know that once you sit down, you know what the meals are like at Beit HaNasi. I mean, not like yesterday. Yesterday at Beit HaNasi, they said the people that came didn't even get a cup of coffee. They had bottles of water come and go. Yesterday, Beit HaNasi, all the miflagot came to my office is right next to Beit HaNasi. So yesterday was the first time in a year that everybody came into the office. We were going to have like a real back to work day, real productive. But Beit HaNasi is number five, Rehov HaNasi. My office is two doors down at number nine. Rehov HaNasi. The whole street was closed off. It was like a carnival. Everybody's out there. There's guys banging the kettle drums, right? What's that tune they sing against BB? Oi, how does it go? I forget. They sang. I had it in my head all day. They were singing it. Right, there's some kind of chant against the Bibi. The whole day it's going. So, but that's not the Beit HaNasi we're talking about. The Beit HaNasi that the Gemara is talking about was the Nasi. So, you know what the meals are like at Beit HaNasi? They go on, there's 10 course meals, it goes on for a long time. Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't want to miss the Dafyomi. So, when the Nasi would say, stay for a meal, he would tell a little white lie. And he would say that he's fasting. What does it mean that he's fasting? That for him it was a fast day? He didn't mean it was a fast day. It was that he was fasting. When was he fasting? He was fasting until he got home and then we could eat his own lunch. So you see that that's not a proof of it being a real fast. So Amar Shmuel, Kol Ta'anit Shelo Kibel Alav Mi Be'od Yom, Lav Shmei Ta'anit. So here's an attack from a different direction on Rav Chisda. Shmuel says, and this connects into Sharon's question. How do you transform a day into a fast day? I mean, if it's a calendar fast, so we know in Shavuot, Shavuot B'Tammuz is a fast day whether or not you have kavana for it or not. Whether or not you know about it or not. It's an objective fast day. But a personal fast day only becomes a fast day if there's an acceptance of the fast, maybe preferably an oral acceptance. Somebody who makes a declaration that tomorrow will be observed as a fast, but certainly a mental declaration that the next day is a fast. Mid be'od yom, from the day before. If you look in the Siddur, there's a little something there which you may have never noticed. On weekday mincha, in many Siddurim, towards the end of the davening, there's something called Kabbalat Ta'anit. It's a kind of a nusach of what you would say if you want to designate the next day as a fast. That's based upon this idea here of Shmuel, Shekol Ta'anit, Shelo Kibel Alav Mibaod Yom, Lav Shmei Ta'anit. Unless you accept the fast in advance, then it's not a fast. So if that's the case, how can Rav Chisda's idea apply? Rav Chisda says you wake up in the morning and you know what you didn't do? You didn't eat anything. You didn't have coffee. This could never happen to me, because unless it's really a fast day, there's no day that doesn't start without coffee. My family knows, no talkie before coffee. Don't try to talk to me before I've had my coffee. So, Rav Chisda's case, the person doesn't drink coffee. He doesn't take tea in the morning. Not even orange juice. And he goes half the day and he realizes that he hadn't really eaten anything. He hadn't eaten anything at all. And then he says, well, anyway, it's only 3 more hours until sunset. I will declare this day a fast. Right? The not having eaten retroactively becomes a fast. And the Ta'anit Sha'ot are the remaining hours that he has intentionally accepted as a fast. But wait a second. Shmuel says, unless you declared it a fast the day before, then it's not a fast. So that seems Shmuel's halacha certainly undermines, contradicts with Rav Chisda's halacha. So ve'i yativ, and if you sat, it's an idiom that means, and if you didn't eat, if you sat in fasting without eating, mai, so what's the halacha? Omar Rabba Bar Shela, dame lemafuche demalia zika. You're like a bag of wind. You're like a bellows full of air. You may be hungry. Your stomach may be, just like the bellows. A bellows is empty. It's only full of air. Your stomach is empty because you haven't eaten anything. But that doesn't turn it into a fast. It's a rejection of Rav Chisda's position. So let's look for a second at the halacha. Here's the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kol ta'anit shelo shaka alav chama, dahainu shelo hishlimu ad seita kochavim, dahainu she yiru gimel kochavim benonim, o shalvanah zarechav, etc. Right? Eino ta'anit. If you haven't fasted until the end of the day, which here the Shulchan Aruch defines as what we call Tzeta Kochavim, meaning it's not sunset, right? Shaka Alav Chama, the sun sets, the Shulchan Aruch says is metaphorical. It means what we call Tzeta Kochavim. You know, the sun sets, that's the moment that the sun disappears below the horizon. Not here in Efrat, because our horizon is a tall mountain to our west, right? But if you live at the Pacific Ocean and you watch the sun go down, so the moment the sun disappears, the shkia, so that's not the end of the day, because we have this idea of Bein Hashmashot. So until 3 stars come out, which at least in our part of the world here in Eretz Yisrael is about 20 minutes later, 18 minutes later, depending upon where you are, your longitude, latitude, it might be a little bit more. So unless you fasted until the end of the day, it's not a fast. V'im da'ato le'chol kodem l'chein, eino mitpalel adenu. So if you know that you are not going to fast for the whole day, says the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes time for mincha, you don't say anenu. The Ramos says, Mihu nohagim lehitpalel anenu af al pi she'en mashlimin. Ad seta kochavim. But the Ramah for Ashkenazim disagrees. The Ramah says when it comes time for mincha on a fast day, if you are still fasting, then you say anenu. I know somebody very close to me who's diabetic and for medical reasons is not able to fast a whole day. But he's able to fast for a good number of hours. So on a regular fast day, on Yom Kippur, he fasts, somehow he does it. But on the other fasts, including Tisha B'Av, he fasts until Mincha, till Mincha Gedola. He goes to Daven Mincha at the earliest opportunity. At that Mincha, he's able to say Anenu. And then after Mincha, he has to break his fast because he has to eat something to take with his insulin. And that's the way it is. He follows the position of the Ramo. V'chein dat miktzat. Okay. V'nira li d'dafke b'yochid d'omer anenu b'shomea tfila. D'balav hochi yechol hosiv kemoshnit bayer. He says, anyway, adding anenu for an individual, you can add anything you want in the Shmona Esrei, within reason. But the Shaliach Tzibur lo yamar anenu elem kein mashlimin. V'chein noagin. But the Shaliach Tzibur, such a person who knows that he's not going to be able to finish the fast, but is still fasting at Mincha, should not serve as the Shaliach Tzibur. The Shaliach Tzibur, who represents the entirety of the people, should be able to finish the fast in order to recite the Anenu. The Mishnah Brura says, Hainu, im piresh b'shat Kabbalah, shelo lahashlim, afilu hitana rak ad mincha gedola, mitpalel Anenu. In other words, if you know in advance, that look, sometimes a person gets sick. Like sometimes you feel like really faint. You know, on the minor fasts, if you really don't feel well, you're allowed to. This is not Yom Kippur where it really has to be a matter of life and death in order to break the fast. So in other words, even if you know in advance that you're not going to be able to fast, im kibel tanit stam tzarich lashlim ad seta kochavim. Right? Generally speaking, you have to finish the fast until three stars. Vahad this satam rama lahakel beferush b'shat Kabbalah haynu dafka b'mitpalel tfilat mincha kodem achilato. Aval kesheachal mitchila b'chogav ne'eno mitpalel aneinu. But that's talking about, the Mishnah Berurah just clarifies when the Rama allows a person who is not going to finish the fast to recite Anenu at Mincha, that's when he's davening Anenu at Mincha, he has not yet broken his fast, when you daven earlier in the day. But if Enachinami, you break your fast, and then you go to Mincha later in the day, you should not say Anenu. Later in this same siman, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Mitane adam ta'anit sha'ot." Oh, Shulchan Aruch says there is such a thing as ta'anit sha'ot. But what? How does he define ta'anit sha'ot? Vahu shelo yachal kol ayom. So it sounds like there really isn't such a thing for only a couple of hours. Ta'anit sha'ot is what? Ketzad? Hare shehaya tarud b'chafatzav u'mitasek b'tzarchav v'lo achal ad chatzot o ad teisha sha'ot. He was busy, he was distracted, he wasn't hungry, and he didn't eat anything. The case of Rav Chisda. And he discovers it's the middle of the day, or it's three quarters of the way into the day. V'nimlach, you see, the language is borrowed, is adapted from our Gemara. V'nimlach, and he considers, he decides, lehit anot b'sha'ot shenisharu min ayom. And he decides that he's gonna go for it, he's three quarters of the way to the finish line anyway. So he's gonna go for the finish and not eat the rest of the day. Hareze mitane otam sha'ot umitpalel bahem anenu. And when he davens mincha later in the day, he can say anenu. Shahare kibel alav hata'anit kodem sha'ot hata'anit. In other words, when the Gemara had said you have to accept the fast in advance. So we thought that meant Mibaod Yom meant the day before. Shulchan Aruch says in advance of, in other words, it's the day starts at 6 a.m. and it ends at 6 p.m. He gets up at 6 a.m. He doesn't eat anything anyway. Maybe he slept late to begin with, so you're not eating. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he says, gee, I haven't eaten anything anyway. There's only 3 hours left to the day to begin with. I now accept upon myself that from this moment going forward until the end of the day, I am fasting. Now, if he'd had a big breakfast that day, or a big lunch, you can't then say after lunch, oh, I now accept upon myself to be fasting. You can say, oh, Weight Watchers, I ate too much today. I probably should lay off and not eat anything else. But that's not called fasting. That's called not eating. So in our case, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you haven't eaten anything all day, not on purpose, just that's the way it was, then you accept upon yourself a fast. But then he says there are some who hold that a tanit sha'ot only works if you accept it the day before. So I don't understand what would be a tanit that you accept the day before. That's what we call a regular. Why is that called a tanit? That's called a regular tanit. At mincha, you say tomorrow I'm not going to eat at all. That's not a tanit shot. That's a tanit. Hechi mishkachat le. So what's the case? Kedon shekibela lav meetmol hitanot ad chatzot hayom. You make a declaration that you're going to fast in the morning until noon. The next day, and that when you get to noon, you say, you know what? I'm not even hungry, and I'm going to end up, I'll fast the whole day. Or you say at mincha that tomorrow I'm going to fast, not in the morning. I have a big breakfast appointment, but I'm going to fast in the afternoon. Now, this is very popular now. What do they call this now? This intermittent fasting, right? This is a very popular diet fad now, intermittent fasting, where you only eat between certain hours of the day. It's meant to cause you to lose a lot of weight. I don't know. It didn't work for me. So here a person says, I'm not going to eat tomorrow afternoon. V'lemachar nimlach v'lo achal gam b'chatzi hayom arishon. Harei ze tanit shot. So the second opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is there is such a thing as tanit shot, right? There is such a thing as tanit sha'ot, but you know what it means? It means you don't eat the whole day anyway. What do these things sound like when you say, I'm not going to eat tomorrow from noon until sunset? What halachic category would you put that in? It's true that in the Shulchan Aruch, this appears in Hilchot Ta'anit, in the laws of fasting.
It's a neder.
It's not really a ta'anit in the regular sense. It's a neder, just like you could make a neder for anything. And that's what this final sif says. Im kibel alav hata'anit ad chatzi hayom, v'achal achar kach, o sha'achal ad chatzi hayom v'kibel alav ta'anit misha ve'elach, eino nikra ta'anit litpalel anenu, aval nikra ta'anit l'inyan shetzarech lahashlim nidro. If you eat at a time when you said, I'm not going to eat during that half day, it's not that you broke your fast, like if you eat on Shavuos Batamuz. You broke your neder. You broke your vow. And just like you can take a vow, I'm never going to write in red ink. I'm never going to wear a cardigan sweater. I'm never, whatever it is. So you can take a neder. I'm not going to eat tomorrow between noon and six. Or between six and noon. And if you break it, you're breaking a vow. You're not breaking a fast. But enochinami, there is such a thing as tanit sha'ot, where you end up not eating the whole day, half a day or part of the day because you just didn't eat, and the other part of the day because you decided, I'm going to take this opportunity that I have, not having eaten, having mimele abstained from eating, and I'm going to turn it into a fast. And when you do turn it into a fast like that, you can say anenu, meaning it can become the halachic reality of a fast for all of the purposes of having something which is potentially meant to contribute to your your tshuva. Okay, we'll continue from here next week. We'll continue from here next week, and the Gemara continues with this topic of Kabbalat Ta'anit, how one the mechanics of accepting a fast. Okay, welcome back. As they say, a healthy summer after the Pesach. And we say healthy summer because after all the food on Pesach, you need a little health, but also healthy because everybody should be healthy from the corona. And we'll meet next week.
Sure.